from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Take that for data.
America,
They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours.
You can also get the power snatch. I love Dawn News. Just Google largest penis in the world and the dude pops up.
No. Get on your knees. It's wonderful.
I love Joey. I want to snuggle with Joey.
Then the bonus rewards program kicks in.
You know, I think we're doing something tomorrow.
We are?
Together. Well, not together, but we're going to be at the same place.
Tomorrow.
Aren't you going to the Timbers game?
Yeah, I'll be at the Timbers game.
I, too, am going to the Timbers
game. Timbers Rob.
Yeah.
You
I'm turning
claim,
over a new
you
leaf.
You claim it's not your first, but you have no idea when your first was.
I've been there.
So it's your second. Have you?
I don't think I've been there since didn't they do like a top deck thing?
They redid the one side, yes.
When did they do that?
A long time.
Was it that long ago?
It was a while ago, yes.
I don't think it was.
It was. I'll see when they did the Providence Park renovation.
Well, look, let's put it this way. I haven't been to a game since all the S went down with Merritt Paulson and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Remember all that stuff?
Yes.
I haven't been to a game since then.
Oh, well, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
What do you mean it's going to be a while? What does that mean?
I'm probably going to be, well, I guess I should say it's been a while. By the way, it was like, 5 years ago they did that?
Yeah, see, that wasn't that long ago.
5 years?
Yeah.
You're saying that's not a long time
ago?
No. Okay. Well, I'm going to say you haven't been in, I'm going to go 9 years. The fact that you have no idea when it was.
Well, I know the coach was, the coach was,
Gio Savarese?
No, before him. The guy, we ran into him at the Oregon Sports Awards. So we had to I was on like Talking Ball or something, and they had us out there doing interviews, and he showed up, and he was an ass. His name was, he was just.
Caleb Porter?
Yeah, I think it was that guy.
Okay.
I didn't like him.
So
I'd boycott.
That would have been 2013 to 2017.
Yeah, that sounds about
that
right.
That sounds about.
Yeah.
It's
probably 8 years.
It's been a stretch. Been a stretch since you've been there. Well, welcome.
But I'm going.
Welcome to the Timbers Army. Are you going to be lighting the fires? Are you going to be down there in the Timbers Army?
What does that mean? No, I'm in the club level. Come on, man. But what do I need to know?
Well, I'm assuming you've already got your scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got my scarf.
Yeah. You gotta be there. You gotta be there for the anthem to wave the scarf.
Okay. So when's is that right before the game starts?
No, it's in between notes of the. Well, yeah, the anthem's before, and then you'll just follow the crowd. They do a scarf thing during the national anthem. You'll get that.
All right.
And then you won't know any of the chants, so you can't do that.
What if I do my own chants?
I suppose you could try to start your own chant. I say you go with that. Other than that, you know, two halves, 45 each, extra time,
offsides,
let's go.
Do you think I'll get bored?
Yes.
I do too.
I think you will get bored.
Yeah, I do too.
But someone says, Vancouver 4 text line, go to a Timbers game, you little bitch.
You little bitch. I am, you bitch. I'm going.
Is this because your kid and his gal want to go?
I can't wait. No, there's a couple friends in town, and they wanted to go.
Okay. Kick the ball, you little bitch.
So I was like, all right, we'll go.
It's a really good time.
I know. I can't wait.
I don't like your
I like sports.
I don't like your sarcasm.
I'm a
right
big
now.
Sports guy. Mm-hmm. And look, anything club level, I'm okay with. You know what I mean?
It's so just... Which so you down to like on in the field suites?
I don't know, club level.
Well, again, there's varying little areas. Are you in the suites? Are you down in the field? Are you on the key
I
bank
don't know.
Side?
I just know I'm not with the peasants.
You have no idea.
That's the way I want it.
You have no idea where you're at.
I'm in the club level. That's what they said. It's C2.
C2.
Yes, I don't know what that means, but that's where we'll be.
Okay.
Look for me down there.
Okay.
Don't throw anything at me. I'm a Timbers fan.
You come down with us.
Come on!
Where are you sitting?
We're on the field suites.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. My buddy's got season tickets.
Bye!
So, the club level, I believe then, you'll be indoors.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, like I said, there's lots of different areas, but I believe the club level, that if you just say it's the club, I'm pretty sure that's an indoor space.
Okay.
So
cool. It's going to be hot.
I think that's about the lamest experience you can get.
No.
But it's also probably the one that you will enjoy the most.
I hope Caleb Porter's down there.
You can go yell at him.
I'll make up with him. All right. Well, that's going to be exciting. Hey, I got snake news. And then why Joe Fisher was all flummoxed yesterday.
And flummoxed he was. I felt bad.
Explainer on this.
Joe goes through a lot of existential crises, and this one I thought was maybe the dumbest one.
I still don't know what you're referring to.
Well, it was a thing
at the end of the golf tournament yesterday.
I feel like we kind of ruined Joe's day, and we did nothing.
No. The only person that ruined Joe's day was Joe.
Yes. And look, I admit I have a problem at times picking. Totally get it. Schultzy, I love you, and I'm working on it. The Joe Fisher one... This is 100% on Joe. But it's a fascinating look into...
Something jammed him up.
Yes.
And it was something that should never have jammed him up.
But I think it jams a lot of people up. And it is a fascinating look into the human mind.
That's a good tease.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great tease. I'm more intrigued now than ever.
And we have audio of the dude dining and ditching on the bitches.
Good summary.
That guy's an American hero.
We have too much going on.
Yeah, a lot.
We'll be right back. It is 6:21 on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right. What do you want? Snake news or Joe Fisher talk? What do you want?
I don't know. Is it good snake news? I mean,
well, I'll just tell you real quick.
Is there any good snake news?
No.
Yeah, dead snake news.
That's true.
Well, that's good point.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you told me that like a bunch of snakes were were erratic, like the Florida pythons, it's good news.
A man was caught trying to smuggle more than 100 live snakes into mainland China.
Oh.
By stuffing them into his pants.
Yeah, I feel like we have this story every now and then where someone tries to smuggle, like, dangerous animals in their pants, and it just seems like a terrible idea.
So I'm sure you have a picture in your mind of what that might... So 100.
It's got to be small snakes, right?
Well, they're not... not huge.
No.
But what that may look like... is not what you think.
Yeah, he's got to put them in some sort of tube or bags or something,
right? Yeah, he puts them in plastic bags.
Yeah.
And they're pretty flat.
Yeah.
And so, I mean...
How can the snake breathe?
I don't know that. Probably holes in it.
And how are you confident that the snake... Boy, plastic bags... I'll tell you what, I trust a Ziploc bag from time to time. You know, I'll marinate some meat in there, but you know what I don't do? I don't put a snake in it and punch some holes and be like, it'll be good.
Well, how about 100 snakes? Actually, it was 104.
That's a lot of snakes.
During an inspection, officers found six canvas drawstring bags sealed with tape in the pockets of his pants.
Good grief.
Officers opened the bag and found that each bag contained a number of live snakes in various shapes and colors.
So he's rocking some cargo pants. I often wonder why dudes wear cargo pants. Apparently, snakes.
I mean, come on. How do you think you're going to get away with that?
I don't know. How does anyone think they're going to get away with anything? But then again, it's the same idiot that, like, who thinks they're going to smuggle 100 live snakes in?
You know, look at that.
God, that's a lot of snakes.
Yeah, 104, dude. And they're not, I mean, they're pretty small.
Well, it's tough. I'm assuming that's just like a normal size card table like that those are laid out on.
Here.
It's a lot of snakes.
Yeah, there. That'll give you a better idea.
Good grief.
He had all that in his pants.
What was he? Were they illegal snakes? Like what?
I don't know what he was trying to do here. It doesn't even say.
Does China have a big no snakes policy?
There were five different snakes: the milk snake, western hognose, corn snake, Texas rat snake, and bull snake.
I don't think any of those. Well, I only know like two or three of those, but I don't think they're poisonous.
None of them are venomous.
Yeah,
but they are non-native. Four of the five are non-native to China.
Yes, you get. Yeah. You can't have that. Otherwise, next thing you know, the corn snake's eating all the whatever and, you know. What a dumbass.
Yeah, what a dumbass.
My guess is, too, I'm just throwing this out there. Of all the places that I wouldn't want to go to prison, can I just say China is near my top? Like, I don't know if it's number one. That might be Russia, but...
Yeah, I was going to say Russian prison or Chinese prison.
China.
I think I'm taking Chinese prison.
Didn't we do the scariest prisons in the world?
Oh, yeah.
And
we did.
We had the pit and we had the mental psych out in Russia.
There's one somewhere like in down in Mexico or Ecuador or something. Somewhere down in Central or South America. And like the inmates just run it. Like,
yeah, there was the one that ran itself. There was the one with the pit. And then there was the one with the all the psychological bags over your head, changing rooms. All
that's
that.
The one in Russia.
Yeah.
That's the Black Dolphin.
Yeah.
And everywhere you walk, they handcuff your hands behind your back, and then they you're like on a rope above you, and then you're hooded the entire time. Yeah, no thanks. But I still think I'm taking China over Russia, but China's like top two or three.
China,
all for smuggling some non-venomous snakes. Yeah, it can't be a lot of money in that. Can't
what about
be a lot
North
of money
Korea?
In milk. Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah, that's got to beat China.
That's number one. I didn't even consider
like,
that's
not even prison. Like, no, you're that's, basically, it's
you're
a
just,
death sentence.
Yeah, it's a death. Yeah, you're not. You know. I like when they return that American and they're like, we don't know what happened to him. must have hit his head before we got him. Remember they turned him and he had like a massive head.
And all that guy did was steal like a poster?
Something like that, yeah, to like one of the hotels. And then they arrested him and they're like, hey, just so you know, he's dead when we found him. And they're like, here you go.
No, he wasn't dead when they... What happened was he stole like a poster or something. Something really mundane.
Yeah, something dumb.
And they locked him up. And then all of a sudden they say he's got this brain hemorrhage or something.
Yeah.
And then he ends up dying. And they're like, yeah, we don't know. Must have bumped his head.
Yeah. Maybe that island... What is it? Is it the Senegalese? Yeah, do they have
Senegal Island, yeah.
Do they have a prison?
No.
No.
I think I know what their
Is that maybe number one? Like, you know, they just... You know.
You think they have a prison there?
Well, I don't know. They tie you to a big pole and they drag you around. I mean,
they just throw an arrow through your heart.
Yeah, I didn't know if they did have a prison, but that would probably be number one. But you know, it's varying degrees.
Why we flummoxed Joe Fisher last night at the golf tournament? Next, here's Buck. Okay, so I'm on my own for this story. Buckley, Suk had to leave. You know where he's going tonight?
I believe a show.
What?
Yeah, he's going to Blues Traveler.
Oh.
Blues Traveler.
Where I think he got his first tattoo.
Yeah. He's going to the Blues Traveler show, and they're playing at a McMenamins.
Are they doing the, the Edgefield one?
Forest Grove.
Oh, okay. I saw Portugal the Man in a McMenamins, I think.
Really?
Wait. No. That was just Edgefield.
Edgefield's great. I haven't been out there in a while. Gotta get out there. This show appears to be at the Grand Lodge.
Okay.
In Forest Grove, which I have never been to. But, yeah, how about that? Blues Traveler. Heading out west. So he had to go. Apparently they go on early. So I'll try to tell you this story. I missed a lot of it. I was not actually there for a lot of this, but Suk has relayed to me what happened.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going.
This is with Joe. Joe Fisher is a character in this play because at our golf tournament yesterday, a very nice P1, his name is P1 Orange O Guy, you know him.
Sure.
He basically...
He follows us, he texts us, yeah.
Yeah, he texts in a lot, he's a listener, big Winterhawks guy. And he, I'm not really sure why, but he carries around a giant cardboard O for Oregon State. It's orange, and it is autographed by many a celebrity, including Jason Sukanik and yours truly.
Yeah, so I believe that he brings this to OSU football games and, like, holds it up, like as a sign.
Is that what it is?
I think, but then I think he's had players autograph it, he's had media people autograph it, so... Yeah, I didn't know that he like brought it around with him places, but I am familiar with the O.
His commitment to the bit is another level.
Yeah?
It's always with him. So he does not golf, and he shows up to our check-in registration area yesterday, and Kim Martinez, our fearless leader, our GM, is up there checking people in.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim turns to him and says, you know, can I help you? And he said, oh, no, I don't golf. And she's like, well, do anything? Like, what are you...
Yeah.
Kind of like, what are you doing?
So then what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Well, he was dropping off... Very thoughtful. He thought of me. And he was dropping off a smallish bucket of what I would call shag bag golf balls.
Okay.
I don't know if he had them in his garage. I don't know where they came from. I only spoke to him briefly.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Rob, I got something for you. And he said, here, these golf balls are for you. I thought of you. I'm like, great. Thanks, dude. And then he went fishing.
Okay.
So that was his day.
Sounds nice.
So the day goes on. This was early in the day. The day goes on, and I totally forgot about the golf balls. Kind of busy out there. And then the final sort of awards wraps up. We wrap up, turn off the mic, and we're standing around talking, and Joe Fisher is standing there with the orange bucket of shag bag golf balls. And there were some decent balls in there. There was also some crappy balls. It's like a shag bag, right?
Right. Like, I mean, it's the grab bag of what you find when you're looking for your ball, where like sometimes you get a nice Titleist, sometimes you get a crappy noodle or whatever.
We've all done this, sure, right? We've put together this.
Yep.
I mean,
I usually sort them out. I have the better ones. Anyways, yeah.
Anyway, the crux of this is that Joe Fisher was flummoxed that I didn't want the golf balls, as nice as it was that he brought the golf balls, Joe Fisher had could not understand why I said, Joe, take the golf balls. He couldn't understand it.
Okay.
So at first, apparently, according to Suk, now this is all via Suk, Fisher was picking through the balls looking for good balls to take.
Okay.
Which, okay.
Was this before taking the whole bag was offered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he was hunting through your bag for a couple good balls.
He's like, oh, I wonder if there's any good balls in here. I'll grab a couple and throw them in my golf bag, which, whatever, that's fine. Well, then Suk was saying, Rob is not going to want those golf balls.
Yeah, you should just take them.
You should just take them. And then Joe was like, well, why wouldn't he want them? I'm like, well, or I don't know what Suk said to him, but Suk said, I don't want the golf balls. You should just take the golf balls. And Joe could not understand why we did not want these golf balls. So I come over to Joe, and I'm like, hey, I see you got the bucket of golf balls. Those are yours, man. Look at those. There's some good ones in there. Pulled out a Pro V one.
Sure.
Nice little golf ball.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll roll real well on the greens there, Joe. Good luck. And he's like, well, but why don't you go? What?
Was he thinking, like, these golf balls aren't good enough for you, but you think they're good enough for me? Like, what is?
I don't quite know.
Okay.
But I know that, well, here's what I think it is. Can we just cut to the chase here?
Sure, I would love to. I still don't get it.
Well, would you want the golf balls?
I don't. I guess I would have to look at them. If someone brought me the bucket, I would say thank you. I would take them home. I would pick out the ones I wanted, and I would probably throw the rest. I don't know. Like, yeah.
Well, here's a little aside.
Because I don't want a bunch of really crappy balls if they were, like, dead driving range style. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to probably play those, but,
right.
You know. You give
Well, just because you're not going to play them doesn't mean you can't have them in your garage to, like, chip around.
Sure, of course. They could serve a purpose, certainly.
Yeah. So everyone kind of, I think a lot of golfers have a bunch of golf balls in a bucket somewhere.
I already do at home, yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the aside. The aside is that I think I talked about it on the show. I could not give away one of those big, giant Home Depot painter's buckets.
You've got more than you know what to do with.
Dude, hundreds of golf balls in there.
Yeah,
I couldn't give it away. I put it on OfferUp, and people were like, well, can you bring it to me? They're like, how good are they? What kind of balls? I'm like, oh, my God, forget it. So I ended up, I don't even know what I ended up doing with it. I think I just donated them. But Joe, I think the thing that Joe doesn't understand is a lot of golfers, well, not everybody has a shag bag, but if you do, you already have that. Like, you don't just accumulate golf balls. Golf balls to me are like pens. They're just everywhere.
Right.
Yes, so, you have to buy the one. So I play a certain golf ball.
Right, and that's the one you like. But if someone comes up to you with a box of pens, you're probably like, well, that's great, but I have pens at home. I have one that I really like to write with. I've got a bunch of others in the junk drawer that I could also write with.
Correct.
I just don't need these.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or if I do really, if I have to, like, if I like a certain pen, I already have that. Okay. So I'm on my own for this story. Buckley, Suk had to leave. You know where he's going tonight?
I believe a show.
What?
Yeah, he's going to Blues Traveler.
Oh.
He loves Blues Traveler.
Where I think he got his first tattoo.
Yeah. He's going to the Blues Traveler show, and they're playing at a McMenamins.
Are they doing the, what's it, the Edgefield one?
Forest Grove.
Oh, okay. I saw Portugal the Man in a McMenamins, I think.
Really?
Wait. No. That was just Edgefield.
Edgefield's great. I haven't been out there in a while. Gotta get out there. This show appears to be at the Grand Lodge.
Okay.
In Forest Grove, which I have never been to. But, yeah, how about that? Blues Traveler. Heading out west. So he had to go. Apparently they go on early. So I'll try to tell you this story. I missed a lot of it. I was not actually there for a lot of this, but Suk has relayed to me what happened.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going.
This is with Joe. Joe Fisher is a character in this play because at our golf tournament yesterday, a very nice P1, his name is P1 Orange O Guy, you know him.
Sure.
He basically...
He follows us, he texts us, yeah.
Yeah, he texts in a lot, he's a listener, big Winterhawks guy. And he, I'm not really sure why, but he carries around a giant cardboard O for Oregon State It's orange, and it is autographed by many a celebrity, including Jason Sukanik and yours truly.
Yeah, so I believe that he brings this to OSU football games and like holds it up like as a
is
sign.
Is that what it is?
I think, but then I think he's had players autograph it. He's had media people autograph it. So yeah, I didn't know that he like brought it around with him places, but I am familiar with the O.
His commitment to the bit is another level.
Yeah?
It's always with him. So he does not golf, and he shows up to our check-in registration area yesterday, and Kim Martinez, our fearless leader, our GM, is up there checking people in, and Kim turns to him and says, you know, can I help you? And he said, oh, no, I don't golf. And she's like, well, can I do anything? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Kind of like, what are you doing?
So then what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Well, he was dropping off, very thoughtful. He thought of me, and he was dropping off a smallish bucket of what I would call shag bag golf balls.
Okay.
I don't know if he had them in his garage. I don't know where they came from. I only spoke to him briefly.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Rop, I got something for you. And he said, here, these golf balls are for you. I thought of you. I'm like, great. Thanks, dude. And then he went fishing.
Okay.
So that was his day.
Sounds nice.
So the day goes on. This was early in the day. The day goes on, and I totally forgot about the golf balls. Kind of busy out there. And then the final sort of awards wraps up. We wrap up, turn off the mic, and we're standing around talking. And Joe Fisher is standing there with the orange bucket of shag bag golf balls. And there was some decent balls in there. There was also some crappy balls. It's like a shag bag, right?
Right. Like, I mean, it's the grab bag of what you find when you're looking for your ball. Where, like, sometimes you get a nice Titleist. Sometimes you get a crappy noodle or whatever.
We've all done this,
sure,
right? We've put together this.
Yep.
I mean, I
usually sort them out. I have the better ones. Anyways, yeah.
Anyway, the crux of this is that Joe Fisher was flummoxed that I didn't want the golf balls. As nice as it was that he brought the golf balls, Joe Fisher could not understand why I said, Joe, take the golf balls. He couldn't understand it.
Okay.
So at first, apparently, according to Suk, now this is all via Suk, Fisher was picking through the balls looking for good balls to take.
Okay.
Which, okay.
Was this before
taking
the whole bag was offered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he was hunting through your bag for a couple good balls.
He's like, oh, I wonder if there's any good balls in
here.
I'll grab a couple and throw them in my golf bag, which, whatever, that's fine. Well, then Suk was saying, Rob is not going to want those golf balls.
Yeah, you should just take them.
You should just take them. And then Joe was like, well, why wouldn't he want them? I'm like, well, or I don't know what Suk said to him, but Suk said, I don't want the golf balls. You should just take the golf balls. And Joe could not understand why we did not want these golf balls. So I come over to Joe, and I'm like, hey, I see you got the bucket of golf balls. Those are yours, man. Look at those. There's some good ones in there. Pulled out a Pro V1.
Sure.
Nice little golf ball.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that'll roll real well on the greens there, Joe. Good luck. And he's like, well, but why don't you go? What?
Was he thinking, like, these golf balls aren't good enough for you, but you think they're good enough for me? Like, what is?
I don't quite know.
Okay.
But I know that, well, here's what I think it is. Can we just cut to the chase here?
Sure, I would love to. I still don't get it.
Well, would you want the golf balls?
I don't. I guess I would have to look at them. If someone brought me the bucket, I would say thank you. I would take them home. I would pick out the ones I wanted, and I would probably throw the rest. I don't know. Like, yeah.
Well, here's a little aside.
Because I don't want a bunch of really crappy balls if they were, like, dead driving range style. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to probably play those, but...
Right.
You know, you give
them... Well, just because you're not going to play them doesn't mean you can't have them in your garage to, like, chip around.
Sure, of course, of course. They could serve a purpose, certainly.
Yeah. So everyone kind of... I think a lot of golfers have a bunch of golf balls in a bucket somewhere.
I already do at home, yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the aside. The aside is that I think I talked about it on the show... I could not give away one of those big, giant Home Depot painter's buckets.
You've got more than you know what to do with.
Dude, hundreds of golf balls in there.
Yeah,
I couldn't give it away. I put it on OfferUp, and people were like, well, can you bring it to me? They're like, how good are they? What kind of balls? I'm like, oh, my God, forget it. So I ended up, I don't even know what I ended up doing with it. I think I just donated them. But Joe, I think the thing that Joe doesn't understand is... A lot of golfers, well, not everybody has a shag bag, but if you do, you are, I mean, like, you already have that. Like, you don't just accumulate golf balls. Golf balls, to me, are like pens. They're just everywhere.
Right.
Yes, so, you have to buy the one. So I play a certain golf ball.
Right, and that's the one you like. But if someone comes up to you with a box of pens, you're probably like, well, that's great, but I have pens at home. I have one that I really like to write with. I've got a bunch of others in the junk drawer that I could also write with.
Correct.
I just don't need these.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or if I do really, if I have to, like, if I like a certain pen, I already have that pen.
Right.
I have a bunch of those.
Maybe if someone brought you an entire box of just the exact pen that you always write with, maybe different story, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
So I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the minority on this, but I think a lot of golfers who play a lot, they play a certain ball. And by the way, let me just tell you, not to be golf douche on you, but to be golf douche on you, one of the most important things in golf that amateurs don't put any stock into is the golf ball. And the type of golf ball you play based on how you hit the ball. It can really help or hinder you depending on what ball you play. So I play a certain ball. You should probably even, if you're really serious, you get fitted for a ball. And so the pros will tell you, here's the ball that you should play based on how you hit the ball. This will help you with X, Y, and Z. So I play a certain ball, and when those ball, when I lose some of them because I suck, but then the ones that get scuffed up or I take out of the rotation,
then they become your shag bag balls.
Exactly.
Yeah. So because you play so much, you just naturally have an accumulation that causes a situation where you don't need more.
I have an abundance of golf balls.
Yes.
And I think people that play golf as much as I do have an abundance of golf balls.
It's kind of like if you always cooked or were cooking for yourself, and then, like, you made yourself the meal that you really liked, and someone's like, hey, here, do you want all my leftovers? Some of them are really good. You're like, well, I kind of cook my own meals, so, like, I already have all the ingredients and the food, and I have the food that I want, and I have my own leftovers. Like, I don't really need your box of leftovers.
Yeah. I think here's what I really think was going on with Joe Fisher, and I think Suk agrees with this, that he was coming to grips with the fact that he was being a cheap ass, which is fine. I mean, again, it's fine. If that's...
You think it's that he couldn't fathom turning down free golf balls of any kind?
He's like, dude, this is a lot of money. And it is. Like, if you buy golf balls, golf balls aren't cheap.
If you went and bought 60 new balls, like, that's going to cost you.
There was probably 100 balls in there. That's a lot, you know, I mean, that's a couple bucks a ball, isn't it?
Depends on the balls, but yeah.
Some of them are crappy. But, like, for a guy like Joe, that's gold. For me and Suk and a lot of other people, it's like, I don't need that. And I don't know why that was so hard for him to understand.
See, I think for a lot of people that would not be gold. I don't know. Even new golfers.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure totally where the hang-up was. But
again, that's why I think Joe in his head was like, oh, man, am I being a cheap ass? And the answer is yes. But that's okay. Because we all are in our own various ways. So that was why Joe Fisher was flummoxed yesterday.
Okay.
And so now he has a bunch of golf balls.
Well, that sounds great for him. I'm not sure he should be upset.
I'm going to make a prediction. Here's the final.
That he thinks half of them suck?
He'll end up giving away those some of those golf balls. He'll end up giving away. He'll come. The light will come on. It's just going to take time because he's kind of new into golf.
Yeah, but
he'll
I thought he'd been playing for long enough now that he had his own shag bag, probably. But
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not.
But you know, if you're out on a golf course enough, like yesterday, I was out there. We weren't even playing, right? We were just at our golf course
dinking around.
I found so many really good golf balls.
Sure. In the high grass.
Guess what I did with them.
Gave them to someone.
Threw them in the water. No, I'm just kidding. No, a couple of them I put in my bag.
So you wanted those?
Yeah, they were nice. And almost new. Playable. Playable golf balls. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And the brand that I play. All right, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Vancouver Ford text line. On a similar note to the golf ball story, do you remember the time in your life where you would stop taking food just because it was free? I remember the point in my life where I was financially secure enough that even if somebody offered me something free, if it was something I didn't really want or was terrible for me, I didn't take it just because it was free. Now I work with college students and realize that they will take and eat anything you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah, there's a scarcity mindset that changes over time.
It does change. You know what's interesting to me is a fascinating... human experiment along these lines is that when it doesn't change, even when you have the means,
mm-hmm.
we've all, I mean, I'm sure you know these people who have the means, but, you know, a lot of boomers are like this. They grew up in...
Oh, 100%.
In that era where it's like... Like, they could have... It's like the guy who worked at the same job for 57 years and never spent a penny.
Right.
My now grandma... Now he's worth $5 million just... And, you know, he never really made over $100,000, but he's got a year, but he's got like $5 million because he was so frugal.
Yeah.
And he's still... that even with $5 million, like, that. That's how he got there. So he's not going to change now.
Yeah, my grandma was that way, like, you know, child of the Depression and all that, and like, and basically was... in a spot where like everything was almost hoarded. Like she couldn't throw something yeah. away because it might be good to use later, even if it was like a... There was a time my mom was helping her clean out her garage, and we pulled out a can of Dinty Moore stew with a... that was like put out before I was born. And it was like, it was 20 years past. But she's like, well, someone will probably eat that someday. And it's like, no, yeah. no one will. But like, she could not part with this stupid can of stew.
Dude, I deal with this. My mom, she's not a hoarder, but she's damn close. And the thing about her big hang up is, well, I don't want to throw it away.
Because that's wasteful.
Because that's wasteful.
But it's already...
But yeah. I do want to give it away, but I don't know who to give it to, so I'm just going to leave it right here and we'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
And that's how stuff accumulates. Mm-hmm. But then 99% of the stuff doesn't go anywhere, it just stays there. But for the 1%, like let's say she saves the most mundane thing, like, hey, mom, do you have a rubber band? She's like, aha! I saved that whole bag of rubber bands.
I do have something for that.
And yeah. I saved it in 1989, and I know right where it is, and I'm going to give it to you now. That is the most satisfying... For someone like that, she says that is the most satisfying thing.
Yeah.
When they have saved something, and then now they have a place for it to go to use.
I remember Christmases where my grandparents would want to save the wrapping paper that we unwrapped our presents with, and the bows, and the ribbon. And my grandma would be so jazzed when she had the exact right size ribbon that she yeah. could reuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, I just saved $1.19 by holding on to this bow.
For 12 years.
This ribbon. Yeah, for 12 years.
What?
It's crazy. That mentality is crazy to me, though. Because it never leaves some people. And no, to the texter's point, I don't remember the time when I stopped taking things for free.
Just because they were free or anything?
Right.
Just because they're
free. Oh, no, some free things are great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just because they're free. I think Will Ortner's still in that.
Oh, he for sure is.
Yeah, he's still in that mode.
I was in that mode longer than I care to admit.
Yeah, I probably was too. All right. Buckley's going to go use his new barbecue. He just put together a barbecue today.
Yeah, we put together a Blackstone, but we got to season it first. We probably aren't cooking on it tonight. Maybe breakfast tomorrow. Big spread.
Everybody have a great weekend. We are back Monday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night. Vancouver Ford text line. On a similar note to the golf ball story, do you remember the time in your life where you would stop taking food just because it was free? I remember the point in my life where I was financially secure enough that even if somebody offered me something free, if it was something I didn't really want or was terrible for me, I didn't take it just because it was free. Now I work with college students and realize that they will take and eat anything you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah, there's a scarcity mindset that changes sure. over time.
It does change. You know what's interesting to me is a fascinating human experiment along these lines is that when it doesn't change, even when you have the means,
mm-hmm.
we've all, I mean, I'm sure you know these people who have the means, but... You know, a lot of boomers are like this. They grew up in...
Oh, 100%.
In that era where it's like... Like, they could have... It's like the guy who worked at the same job for 57 years and never spent a penny.
Right. My
now
grandma...
Now he's worth $5 million just... And, you know, he never really made over $100,000, but he's got... He's got a year, but he's got like $5 million because he was so frugal.
Yeah.
And he's still that, even with $5 million, like that, that's how he got there. So he's not going to change now.
Yeah. My grandma was that way, like, you know, child of the Depression and all that. And like, and basically was in a spot where like everything was almost hoarded. Like she couldn't throw something away because it might be good to use later, even if it was like a. There was a time my mom was helping her clean out her garage. And we pulled out a can of Dinty Moore stew with a that was like put out before I was born. And it was like, it was 20 years past. But she's like, well, someone will probably eat that someday. And it's like, no one will. But like, she could not part with the stupid can of stew.
Dude, I deal with this. My mom, she's not a hoarder, but she's damn close. And the thing about her big hang up is, well, I don't want to throw it away.
Because that's wasteful. But it's already...
But yeah. I do want to give it away, but I don't know who to give it to, so I'm just going to leave it right here and we'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
And that's how stuff accumulates. Mm-hmm. But then 99% of the stuff doesn't go anywhere. It just stays there. But for the 1%, like let's say she saves the most mundane thing, like, hey, Mom, do you have a rubber band? She's like, aha! I saved that whole bag of rubber bands.
I do have something for that.
And I saved it in 1989, and I know right where it is, and I'm going to give it to you now. That is the most satisfying. For someone like that, she says that is the most satisfying thing.
Yeah.
When they have saved something, and then now they have a place for it to go to use.
I remember Christmases where my grandparents would want to save the wrapping paper that we unwrapped our presents with, and the bows, and the ribbon. And my grandma would be so jazzed when she had the exact right size ribbon that she could reuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, I just saved $1.19 by holding on to this bow.
For 12 years.
This ribbon. Yeah, for 12 years.
What?
It's crazy. That mentality is crazy to me, though. Because it never leaves some people. And no, to the texter's point, I don't remember the time when I stopped taking things for free.
Just because they were free or anything?
Right.
Just because they're
free. Oh, no, some free things are great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just because they're free. I think Will Ortner's still in that.
Oh, he for sure is.
Yeah, he's still in that mode.
I was in that mode longer than I care to admit.
Yeah, I probably was too. All right. Buckley's going to go use his new barbecue. He just put together a barbecue today.
Yeah, we put together a Blackstone, but we got to season it first. We probably aren't cooking on it tonight. Maybe breakfast tomorrow. Big spread.
Everybody have a great weekend. We are back Monday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.